you need Jesus, he's here to reach in your heart. If you need a refreshing, he's here to preach the word of God, which will reach into your heart. But if you don't respond to what God is saying to you, then nothing can happen. That's what it's all about with God. It's about response. It's about us focusing on him and connecting with him. So while the preacher is preaching, you connect with God. Connect with Jesus, your Savior and Lord. Well, Brother Manima, welcome to the pulpit.
Why don't we lift our voices and a hand clap of praise one more time unto the Lord. The Bible says I will bless him at all times. It doesn't say I will bless him just when my pastor is here. I will bless him when school is operating. I will bless him only when it's over 25 degrees, because then in Canberra you will never bless him. But I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Amen. It's such a privilege to be here before you in Calvary Chapel and to be part of this program. And thank you, Bishop Downs, for mentioning that this program is for young people. I don't really feel so young anymore, but I'm thankful to really be given the opportunity to bring to you the Word of God. So I give honor to your leadership. I give honor to Bishop Downs. Sister Downs, thank you for looking after me the last couple of days and feeding me and taking me around to the warmer places of Canberra. No, that was a joke. But and I also give honor to your pastor, Pastor Jonathan Downs, who's been a good friend over the years and a mentor to myself. And like your bishop said, I've had opportunities to preach around the country. I've even had opportunities to preach overseas, and a lot of those opportunities were given to me by your pastor. Before I even became a licensed minister, so I'm always grateful to him for that, and I'm thankful for that. So, as you remain standing, if you turn to me to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, I really won't take too long. I'm not really a long preacher. Everyone said amen. John, chapter 11, and I must admit to you, I've probably changed messages two or three times. I had a message prepared to come up here, and then it changed, and then it changed again last night. But I do believe that I have a word from God, and like our bishop has already mentioned, if you have an open heart and you're willing to receive the word and allow it to fall on good ground, then God has something for you this morning. If you're in need of the Holy Ghost, I'm here to declare to you that if you will just step out in faith and open up your heart, then God has a gift for you. Amen. John chapter 11, first we'll read from 1 to 6, and then we'll jump down to 17. There's a few scriptures, but I will not take too long. John chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus had heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." And if you jump down to verse 17, this is when Jesus is turning up to see Lazarus and to see Mary and Martha. Verse 17, it reads, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still." Everyone say still. Still in the house. "Then said Mary unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. Everyone say secretly. Saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And the last verse, verse 34 said, and he said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And for the next few moments, I just want to preach on this title, forget what you think you know. Forget what you think you know. One more time, would you put your Bibles down and lift your voices unto heaven and agree with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence that we feel in this place already, Lord Jesus. But Lord, I don't believe I'm here by accident. I don't believe the people that are in here hearing your word are here by accident. But Lord, let your word accomplish what it is set out to do, Lord Jesus. Mixed with faith, I pray, Lord God, that you'd stir up a response within us, oh Lord Jesus, to cry out unto you. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open up our ears, open up our hearts, give us a revelation this morning. Speak through me, Lord Jesus, for I'm but a vessel, Lord God, to do your will. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated, but as you're seated, tap someone next to you and say, just forget about it. And if they owe you money, then take that back. Praise the Lord. Forget what you think you know. Our community continues to exist and develop through the transmission of its knowledge and ideology from one generation to the next. This has occurred from the earliest of times, and its development can be tracked through the course of history. Education is simply the process of teaching and learning, the imparting and procurement of knowledge and skills. One of the greatest influences on the Western traditions we have today is that of ancient Greece and their philosophers. Influencing, amen, brother. I perceive you to be Greek. Praise the Lord. Influencing areas such as modern science, which shook the cultural foundations of its time. Plato wrote, was quoted saying, no man should bring children into the world who is unwilling to preserve to the end in their nature and education. Learning and the quest for knowledge and that desire to know were almost ingrained within their DNA. The need for education was just as important to the Israelites than any other society of the ancient world. The reason the Hebrew community have sustained such continuity within its culture is because they were inundated or conditioned by the knowledge of God and the obedience to His law. No better illustrated than their diligence in preserving the Shema, amongst other traditions. Deuteronomy 6:4-9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." The Jews still practice this today. Education in ancient times was deeply rooted in religious tradition. Again, its sole purpose was for the imparting of communal morals and values, hoping to produce a model citizen, upright in character and productive in the community life. Theodore Roosevelt once wrote, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." Proverbs 18:15 says, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out." Francis Bacon quoted, "Knowledge is power." Amen. Psalms 119:66 says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." You see, all of this is very important to have a good education, even pursue higher education, and one should never discount the process of learning and obtaining as much knowledge as you possibly can, especially when it comes to the things of God. Amen. But let me also say that it also comes to nothing if your understanding and what you think you know hinders God from moving in your life. It means nothing if it prevents you from receiving something from the Lord. It means nothing if your understanding robs you of experiencing a mighty and powerful manifestation of God's power. Amen. In our opening text, we read Jesus was informed of his dear friend Lazarus, and that he was sick and that it urgently needed his attention. Despite the situation, Jesus chose to remain where he was a further 2 days, knowing very well the consequences of his hesitancy. Though we now know in hindsight that this was Jesus' intention, to give God glory through the raising up of Lazarus. Amen. But at the time, they didn't know any better. I always have this thing about the Bible. We always can read it and we know the end from the beginning. And sometimes we're a little harsh on biblical characters because we're like, "Peter, I would have walked on water. You know, I would have walked all the way to Jesus." Or "Disciples, why were you, ye of little faith, not trusting in Jesus to raise up from the grave?" We read it in hindsight, so our perspective is different. But at the time, they didn't know any different. Now Jesus is headed to Bethany. Lazarus has been dead and buried for 4 days already. He's too late, you would think. He took too long to get there. Jesus, you don't usually turn up to these situations late. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but the Bible says that Mary stayed still in the house. This is significant, but I will, if you give me a moment, I will come back to that. But profound to me that she stayed still in the house. Martha sees Jesus and says, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother, he wouldn't have died." And this is where I believe this story takes a turn. This is where what she thinks she knows hinders what God really wanted to do. Because she turns around and says, "But I know." It's the "but I knows" that we say to Jesus that often gets in the way of receiving a word from the Lord and what he has in store for us. She says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus comes along and I know that my brother has passed away and he's been buried for 4 days, and Jesus says to me, "Your brother shall rise again," I think that deserves a praise break, don't you? I think that deserves rejoicing and celebrating and giving God glory. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is before us saying, "Your brother shall rise again." I would start singing, I would start dancing, I would start clapping, I would start praising, I would start worshiping. You would think that would be the normal response. But not for Martha. She turns around and says, "I know. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Technically, she wasn't wrong. But she let her understanding get in the way with what Jesus was about to do. Forget what you think you know. "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus has to turn around and say, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And I love this, what he says, "Believest thou this?" So in other words, to me, he's saying, "I know you say you know this. I know you say you know that. But do you believe? Is what you know what you actually believe?" God has something for you here this morning. God has a miracle for you this morning. But do not let your understanding get in the way of what God wants to do in your life. Sometimes we try to figure out how God is going to bring us through this situation, or how is that healing about to take place. But sometimes we have to get out of our own way and allow God to operate in our lives. Amen. If you believe that this morning, why don't you give him a hand clap of praise? Forget what you think you know. Don't let your understanding hinder you from what God wants you to do in your life, as it did with Martha. John chapter 6, verse 54 to 56. "So whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in them." And when you jump down to verse 66, when after Jesus is teaching these spiritual principles, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Now, again, we look at this in hindsight and you'd be like, "Oh, these guys had no faith." But scripturally, this was an abomination to actually eat of someone's flesh and drink of their blood. So these people may have understood the scriptures to their best understanding and knew, but they missed the point. They missed the point of what Jesus was really trying to say. That he was the bread of life. Amen. But it was their understanding that hindered them from receiving something from God. It is the statement of the, but I know, Jesus, I know you're a healer, but I know that all things work together. See, what the but I knows do is create a box. Lord, you're awesome, you're great, you're powerful, but I know that this is the way you're going to operate. And it's when we put God in a box that prevents him from manifesting his power in my life. I wonder if there's any saints in here that has a desire to see the move of God in their lives. And if you haven't, I want to challenge you this morning. Is there a but I know somewhere in there? Is there, are you hindered by your own understanding? Have you put God in a box this morning, thinking to yourself, this is the way he's going to operate. This is the way he operated in brother so-and-so's life. This is the way he operated in sister so-and-so's life. So this is the way he must operate in my life. I'm simply here to challenge us this morning to forget what you think, you know. Just to get out of, sometimes we just got to get out of our own way and allow God to move in our lives. See, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. It's what we ask and think. Sometimes it's that understanding that gets in the way. Amen. Now, if you have kids, depending on how old you are, they might eventually get the revelation of what this thing called brands. Brands, when they start to realize clothes brands, and when they ask for a phone and you want to offer them a Nokia or an Ericsson, I'm like, what's this? They think it's a doorstop or a paperweight or something like that. No, that's technology, once upon a time. Well, when they say phone, they actually mean iPhone or smartphone or an Android, something like that. So, but kids can't grasp. Like, they just think that money grows on trees sometimes. And that was probably the greatest response I've heard this morning. You know what I mean? But we were once there, I guess. No, I was humble all the time. Target came out. That's all I wanted in life. Op shops, nothing wrong with that. But they don't understand. Some kids don't understand, you know, why it is you can't purchase that thing. You know, they don't understand sometimes the concept of money and budgeting and financial discipline. And so just the same way as they don't understand why we do certain things, there is, we might as well not try to figure out how God does certain things. Forget what we think we know. For Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But sometimes we just got to forget what we think we know. Amen. Another interesting thought from the passage of scripture that we read. It was interesting that after Martha finished speaking to Jesus, the Bible says that she went to Mary secretly and called her secretly. The voice of the Lord came to Mary secretly. The Master is come and calleth for thee. I submit to you this morning that it's also in that secret place where you will hear the voice of God. Psalms 81:7 says, thou callest in trouble and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. It's in that secret place where Jesus called Mary. It's in that secret place where the word of God came to Mary. Amen. And this, I believe, is a word for someone. That the Lord called her in that secret place, but she was only in that position because she chose to stay still in the house. The Bible says that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed still in the house. Martha went after the presents while Mary waited for a word, and please do not misunderstand me that, you know, being in the presence of God is important. Amen. That's where we find solace. That's where we find strength, peace, joy, shelter, and refuge. We need the presence of God. But let me tell you also that you can be in the presence of God and still not hear the voice of God. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus during his ministry, where he taught them spiritual principles, gave them prophetic revelations, and they still missed the point most of the time. In Mark chapter 5, we read about a woman with the issue of blood who in her desperation was seeking a miracle, reached out and touched the hem of the Lord's garment and was instantly healed. Jesus then calls out, "Who touched my clothes?" And in verse 31 of the same chapter, it says, "And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging unto thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" We always preach this, saying that many pressed up against Jesus that day, but only one touched him. But let me also say that many were in his presence that day, but only one received that word. She was the only one that received that word, even though there was many that heard him call out. You can be in the presence of God and not hear the voice of God. Young people, God forbid that we come to church and sing all the songs that we like and clap our hands and stomp our feet, lift our voices unto our Heavenly Father, feeling the presence of God, but we leave this place without hearing the voice of God. You may feel like you've dragged yourself into church today. You may be experiencing trials and you're in certain situations and you're wondering to yourself, where is the next victory? Where is the coming? Where is my help? I just want to simply encourage you this morning. Stay still in the house. Do not waver. Stay still in the house. A word is coming for you this morning. Amen. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." Stand still in the house. You may feel like you're losing a spiritual battle, but stand. You may be growing weary. Just stand. Having done all, stand. In other words, stay still in the house. Stay still in the house. For it's in that secret place that the word of the Lord is going to come to you. And my last point about this, the story, is that you'll find that the Bible goes on, when Mary heard the Lord call her, she rose quickly and came unto him. But those that were in the house assumed that she was going to the grave to mourn there. See, they thought they knew what was going on. And I simply want to encourage you that when you hear the voice of the Lord speak to you in that secret place, and when you respond in faith And when you take action, there are going to be people that do not understand which direction that you're going because they were not there in that secret place when the Lord spoke to you. I simply want to encourage you to keep moving forward. Keep responding in faith. Keep acting in faith. Amen. People will not understand because they weren't there in that secret place when God spoke to you. See, in Acts chapter 10, Peter received a vision of as God spoke to him, preparing him to preach to the Gentiles, who in the Jewish culture was considered unclean. Peter heard the word and responded to the word eventually. But as he headed to Joppa, and while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell upon the Gentiles when they heard the gospel. But in Acts 11, when Peter returned to Jerusalem, the Jews confronted him. And Acts 11, 2-3 says, "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them." See, they didn't understand because they weren't there when God spoke to him in that secret place. Just as the Jews in Mary's house weren't there when Jesus called Mary. But don't let other people's lack of understanding of what God is doing in your life discourage you from doing the will of God. Amen? Am I speaking to a young person? I was young once. Apparently, I'm still young. This program's for young people. I'll take that. But I know what it's like as a young person trying to live for God and being discouraged by your friends, them not understanding the choices that you've made, the decisions that you've made. But I simply want to encourage you, if God has called you in that secret place, if He has given you a word, then you continue to walk in that direction. See, those around Mary thought that she was going to the grave. They thought that she was running to her problem. They thought that she was going to her pain, to her trial, to her circumstances. Little did they know that she was running to Jesus. She was running to her strength. She was running to her comfort. She was running to her answers, to her provision, to her provider. But those around her thought they knew what was going on. Forget what you think you know. It doesn't matter what other people think, as long as you're obedient to the voice of God. Amen. Why don't we stand? If I could invite some of the musicians up. See, what I love about his story is that Mary did not pretend that she understood what was going on. See, when you actually read, when you reflect on the story, you see that when Mary saw Jesus, she fell at his feet, which is always considered a place of worship in the Bible. See, it's interesting that she actually says the exact same thing as Martha did. "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Only difference is she didn't follow it up with a "but I know." The difference with her is that despite her situation, despite what she and her family had been experiencing and going through, the death of a brother, of a loved one, she still chose to place herself in a place of worship. She didn't try to explain away with her own understanding who God is and what she believes that God should do. She didn't try to explain her way through the situation. All she knew to do at the time was to fall before the Lord and bow down into a place of worship. See, what interests me is that if you actually, in verse 2 of the chapter that we read, John chapter 11, verse 2, it highlights that Mary was the same woman that washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Now, there's no throwaway lines in the Bible. So when I went back to look at this story, you find this story actually in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 is very interesting. Luke chapter 7, it starts off with Jesus performing a miracle. The miracle that Jesus performed in Acts chapter 7 was that he raised the dead man back to life. And in Luke chapter 7 verse 17, it says, "And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about." So Acts chapter 7, you have Jesus raising this man from the dead. And then this rumor spreads throughout the land, as it was just quoted in Luke 7 chapter verse 17. A couple of verses later, there's Mary at the feet of Jesus, crying, washing his feet with her tears, wiping his feet with her hair. Now, this is just according to the Gospel of Sam, when I read the scriptures, when I study it, it is very possible that the rumor or the testimony that Mary heard, because the Bible says that she was living a sinful life, she was promiscuous, she was out, but there was something that compelled her to come before Jesus. It's very possible that the rumor and the testimony that you heard that gave her the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God was the raising up of a man from the dead. The very thing that brought her to Jesus in the first place may have been the need that she needed at that very time. Because the Bible says that after that moment, after she had come to Jesus, she went back to Bethany. She went back home. So out of the two sisters, if there was anyone that had grounds to say, "But I know," it was Mary. Because again, there's no throwaway lines in the Bible. I think there was a reason why that was in there. And when you look back on that story, if anyone out of the two sisters had the right to say, "Jesus, but I know I was there in Capernaum when you raised that man from the dead. I was there. You can do it then. You can do it again." If anyone had the right to say it, it was Mary. But she didn't. She didn't let her own understanding get in the way. She just said, "In this very moment right now, all I know is to put myself in a place of worship. That's all I know. I might not understand the situation that I'm in. I might not understand how God is going to bring me through it. But I'm just going to worship." Forget what you think you know. And I guess before I open up these altars, I want to make a special appeal. If anyone needs the gift of the Holy Ghost, I know you can feel the presence of God, but sometimes we can explain away what we're feeling. We try to explain away with our own understanding. I want to encourage you, forget what you think you know and just step out in faith this morning. If you've been serving the Lord for some time now and haven't seen the miracles of God, you haven't seen the power of God manifested in your life, I want to challenge you. Are we allowing our own understanding to get in the way and allowing God to move in our lives? Forget what you think you know. I want to also encourage when you come to the front. I was at a church once and I called an altar call. And I thought it was a good message. I don't know, could be biased, but. No one came to the front. No, none of the adults came to the front. And coincidentally, I use that term very loosely, they had cancelled the Sunday school that morning for no reason. There was no reason. They just cancelled it. It wasn't because I was there. They just canceled it. So when I called the altar call, no one responded. And I said, well, if no one wants to respond, bring the children up. There's a reason why they're not in Sunday school. Bring the children up. 5 young children received the gift of the Holy Ghost that morning. But our own understanding, see, this is, I've been in church long enough to realize that when I make an appeal for an altar call, we examine ourselves. No, I don't need the Spirit, and then that's it. Whilst our children are next to us, who need the Holy Ghost as well. Amen. Forget what you think you know. Why don't we close our eyes one more time and lift our voices unto heaven, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence that we feel in this place, oh Lord. We thank you for your word, oh Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, for challenging us this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't have to figure out how we're going to do things and how you're going to operate in our lives, but Lord Jesus, that's why we step out in faith. So I pray, Lord Jesus, this morning that we will step out in faith, oh Lord God. If we really want to desire, Lord, if we really desire, Lord Jesus, to see you move in our life, oh Lord God, then we step out in faith this morning, Lord God, to see you move in our lives, to see your power manifest itself, oh Lord God. For it is that our desire to give you all the glory, Lord. Let us be a walking testimony, Lord Jesus, of your goodness this morning, Lord. It is not enough, to, Lord God, that we just go through the motions, that we just play church, but Lord, we need to see the move of God, Lord Jesus, in our lives. We need to see the Word of God be brought to life, oh Lord Jesus, in our lives, Lord God, in our lives of our families and our friends, oh Lord Jesus. Miracle signs and wonders, Lord God, will confirm, Lord Jesus, your Word as we preach it to the lost, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, if there be someone that needs your gift of the Holy Ghost this morning, I pray, Lord God, that you continue to stir up the faith within us, that we step out of our seats, Lord Jesus, and cry out unto you this morning. We thank you for speaking to us, oh Lord God, but we know that there's so much more you want us to experience, oh Lord Jesus. So much power you want us to experience. Joy, Lord God. Peace, oh Lord Jesus. For you are a good Father, Lord Jesus. We thank you once again, Lord God. Continue to have your way, Lord Jesus, in this altar call. As we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, these altars are open. And if you really want to receive something from God, don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about what they think and what they're going to say. Just know that there is a Heavenly Father that is here with his arms wide open. If you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, I would love to pray for you and have the opportunity to pray for you. But don't let this time go to waste. Don't let this opportunity go to waste. But come and spend some time with the Lord. Come.